Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Another Monday morning, another technological challenge.
Exactly. Well, here were our assignments from the weekend. On Friday, we had list some of the greatest moments in your life, record and listen. On Saturday, do this exercise with all the courage you can muster. Be as fearless as possible. I now give myself permission to. And then on Sunday, think of three dominant characteristics of someone you dislike. Write them down. Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This is Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hey, Jen.
Hi. Well, I was just starting to think I'd been blacklisted or something because I've been on the queue so many times and this is my first time on all year.
Oh my gosh. Well, what that can tell you is we got a lot of people in this retreat, which is very good,
isn't it?
That's
good news. Yes, it's very good. Yeah. But I'm happy to be here now.
Good. Happy to have you. What have you been seeing?
Well, I think the one that was most illuminating to me, they're all fun. These are all always fun. But the one that was most illuminating this weekend was around the characteristics of someone I dislike. And it was interesting because I realized that, like, I don't actively dislike people, I guess. It's more like I hadn't been thinking of it that way. It's just like, it's more like behaviors, you know, that I could be very judgmental of people's behaviors, but I had never really thought about it, or I guess I wasn't framing it in the context of like, I don't like that person. I would never say that, you know.
Which may be like the most interesting part, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Because there was like something in there that was like, that's just not even acceptable to say, or feel.
Yeah.
You know, like it's okay to not like their behaviors, but you know, you would never just not like a person.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, and of course that fits nicely with, I guess it still would be considered modern child rearing. I love you. I don't like how you're acting.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which kind of glosses over the whole idea that there's still all of this aversion, you know?
Yes. Like, it's a way of letting us off the hook, right?
Right, exactly.
I don't have to face what's going on with me about what that person, how that person is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting to see because I thought about it, of course, in terms of the president, who was the easiest person, the first person I thought, well, I don't like him. And it's like, well, you know, I even when I think about him or read things about him, I do kind of go to this place of like, gosh, I'm really glad I'm not in his head.
Yes.
You know?
I do know.
I do know.
This is not evidence, a couple weeks ago, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not evidence of deep peace and happiness.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, it was just interesting to see like, you know, does this make me a more evolved person because I don't really dislike anybody, and you know, it was just there was so much in there.
Or am I just conning myself? Well,
yes.
And to me, what you're saying, Jen, is the important part, which is, well, this got my attention, so I'm gonna watch going forward. Because how does that play out inside my head, outside my head, in my behaviors, in you know, what else is lurking behind that? No, I just don't really dislike anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely one of the ways I know that it plays out is I don't hold either myself or anybody else accountable for anything. You know, I let behaviors slide that, you know, other people wouldn't let slide.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of that, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is so much of that. There is so much egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate collusion going on. You know, don't you point out the behaviors that I have that are really unskillful, unconscious, harmful? You don't point those out. I won't point yours out, okay? And we can just go right on being unconscious and harmful and never get called on. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and because really we're good people at the heart of it. You know?
Exactly. So. And there's also the polar opposite, which is in an anonymous way, I'm just going to rake over the coals everybody who says or does anything that I find offends me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a constant state of outrage. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, and both ends of those of that continuum are really not good for us, right? You know, what they're doing for anybody else is probably not that helpful either. But we know for ourselves that's just not what we want to allow to go on in an unexamined way.
Yeah. Yeah, and both of them have this sort of energy, this sense of like, I'm kind of distant from everything. You know, one's just distant and throwing a lot of judgment at it. The other's just distant and being avoidant about it. And it's just, it doesn't feel connected or involved or present with actually what's happening.
Right. Definitely none of this is coming from the heart.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We can see ego protecting its territory. And be aware that the heart is hidden behind a very thick wall.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah, which really, in the end, just leaves me feeling the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's such a good image, isn't it? So there's the heart kept behind this really thick wall. But the authentic human being, the authentic incarnation, is running around out there on the other side of the wall. Right? Mm. A target for everything.
Yeah, I just pictured her like sitting in the corner, completely alone and, you know, just vulnerable to anything.
Slings and arrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Jen. Glad you made it.
It was fun. Me too.
Right.
I'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Oh, I hope so. Okay, go happy.
Thanks, Jen. Now, that was a fascinating conversation, Sherry.
Uh-huh. That wall image, I like that, kind of like the person in the well image.
It's a
good picture of how all of that works together or doesn't work together.
Well, especially that the point that Jen made in the beginning, which is we are averse to behaviors because there is no person. I mean, that is true. Everything that comes out, I mean, that if goodness is established, then we can be present to what arises from that goodness in awareness all the time. It's not a person. And persons tend to have behaviors because that's what defines the reaction from a separate place.
Oh, that's a very helpful distinction.
Yeah, which is why we can't love a person because there is no person to love. It's not an experience towards an object. It's a process.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's the same thing, right? Yes. I cannot find unconditional love for a person acting out of ego because the demand is that I have to love the ego. But that's not what we're saying. Unconditional love is to be present to what is not ego.
Mm-hmm. Which is how Jen made that point about the president.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the place I'm identified with, which is the process, not the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because for all of us, right, if we stop and consider it, the person is not lovable, right? The authentic incarnation is, and that's the distinction that you're making between the authentic incarnation and the, in quotes, person or the personality, the identity that ego assumes in order to go about and do its nefarious deeds.
Yeah, it's a separate self that you cannot love or dislike, or you could dislike,
right.
I suppose.
But only if you're identified with one, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the heart isn't fooled and actually can't be fooled.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
Deep for a Monday morning. Here we go.
I know.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Jen again, and you caught me with my sandwich in my mouth.
Oh, sorry, Jen.
That's okay.
Here we go. I'll mute you and bring someone else on. I mean,
happy lunch.
Thank you.
That's we'll talk again soon. That's a little too soon, right? That wasn't what we had in mind. Yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hmm. Oops, I was muted. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hey, Ramita.
Oh, hi, Ramita.
Hello. I'm outside. I don't know if there's a lot of environment. Okay, good. Conditioning has been effective in keeping me out of the queue. And after listening to some of the practice calls this week, I got back in. So I'm celebrating.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we're happy you're here.
Yes, me too. I'm running into a lot more resistance with this whole year's retreat, and just wondering, what's going on. Well, we know it's conditioning, in short, of course. And I guess conditioning just says this is just a little too personal. I like to be able to be. It likes to be more abstract and theoretical, and when it comes down to really looking inside and expressing what's true for this human being, I get shut down a lot.
Well, and seeing what ego is doing to this human being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the real rub, isn't it?
Yes.
Because, so when it's theoretical, then, well, it's there, and that's how people are, and that's what ego does. Uh-huh. And that's really interesting to look at. But now I'm looking at how it operates in, quote, me. And that's a little bit too close to home for ego. So let's not do that.
Right.
You know, the other thing, Ramita, about it is when you were just describing that, you know, when we first start practice, it's all really interesting and it's exciting because, of course, we sense that we're responding to the call home, right? And so there's that thrill of feeling like, oh, I think I'm on the right track here. And ego doesn't care because it's got us in 99 point whatever percent of the time. So it's not threatened by that. But as the years go by and ego is having to withdraw more and more and more because we're watching, we've seen so much. We're bringing a level of presence and clarity to practice that is increasingly uncomfortable for ego, then it's going to dig in.
Yes. It's been a real tangible experience of going farther, faring worse.
Yes.
This feels ugly. This feels frightening. This feels uncomfortable is a mild expression of it, more like terrifying and not what I want to do. And yet I know, because of the years of practice, you know, this is exactly where I want to be and what I want to be doing, and you know, give myself permission, like the assignment this weekend. You know, I now give myself permission to not know what in the world is going to come out my mouth, and to trust that you and Sherry Ashwini, the Sangha, are adequate to it, and so am I, beneath what's
yes.
going on with ego.
Yes, 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 precisely. And again, it's one of my most disgusting images, but I do think it's a good one. In this place, if we think about it this way, what you're seeing is ego in the same position as a worm on a fish hook.
Yes.
Right? It's writhing. It's flailing. It's doing everything it can to keep itself alive. And that's what that aversion, that I don't want to, I hate this, this is so uncomfortable, this is miserable, that's not you. That's
mm-hmm,
ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and the
yeah.
the more clarity we bring to that, the more fascinating it is. Now, if we stay with this image, then with the worm, we would as quickly as possible take it off of that hook, because that's a, that's a terrible thing to have happen to anybody. And there's a way in which we can take ego off the hook, too. But we have to learn to ignore it first. We have to be able to recognize it for what it is and ignore it. And then we're free of it.
And the freedom is the off-the-hook part. It's like
yes.
that's where it's sort of relegated to the next room, and it can do whatever
yes.
it wants to do. Yeah.
Yes, which is not exist.
Right.
Right. Because without our attention, it doesn't exist. And so, right. You know, we think that all that discomfort and angst and awfulness is really a place of unhappiness. But if we get that for ego, it's a survival place. It's throwing everything it's got into its own survival, then we can have a different relationship with it.
You know, last time we spoke, Sherry, you said something similar about, you know, I was saying ego doesn't like this, but you said, no, actually, ego's thriving on this. Ego revels
yes.
in it. You're, that's the yes. same point you're making now, right?
Yes. Yes, because yeah. people give attention to ego when they're unhappy, dissatisfied, suffering. Those are all ego places, right? So ego comes in with, oh, this is awful. What's going to happen? What are they going to do about this? What's going to happen with that? Oh, my God, why did you? And it sounds like somebody is really unhappy and suffering. But ego is just saying whatever it takes to get the attention. And
right,
people turn attention to it.
Right, that's the siphoning off of life energy with the
yes.
hope that I will be talked into trying to save it and
yes,
take it off the
exactly.
hook before. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, my coach was really helpful this week, too, and said, how about some overdosing on compassion? And that has been so helpful, so helpful.
Uh-huh.
It's turned that suffering around into the curiosity and the sense of, okay, this is not me. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong, and I can watch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, growing that sense of the authentic human being and ego's shenanigans. So the compassion
yes.
for the person who is... you know, if ego has its way, is being victimized by what the ego is doing. We can have great compassion for the human, and then we move into that. Well, what would be nice right now? Let's do some recording and listening. Let's find a quiet place to take a walk and appreciate nature.
Very good. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ramita.
Thanks, Ramita. The thing that was so two things struck me about that conversation. One, it's so helpful when people actually talk about difficult places and challenging places, because it's such a modeling to be facilitated by you in those places for us to see where we need to see next. I mean, it's to me, it's such a practice place of being pointed to how to work with something, because that's what we're doing. It's how to work with something. Yeah. Yes, we're transcending something, but reports on transcendence, while we all, while it's wonderful to listen to that too, it's, we're all going through stuff that's painful and difficult and going up against the ego. And so the courage it takes to actually talk about that process and reveal the difficulty is not just inspiring, it's helpful.
And what I just saw when you said that is because it's underlining the difference. So for years, you know, people just talked about, well, what the, now the voices are saying this and now the voices are telling me that. And that's not what you're talking about. What you're talking about is revealing the place in practice, and then being supported in recognizing ego for what it is, and having that distance, seeing authenticity, the authentic human incarnation, for what it is. And and then how do I stay with the one and ignore the other?
Well, because it points to the intent of the retreat of how. We know we want to end suffering, and we know what the ego is and what the ego does in abstract, but the transcendence is the process of dealing with how it works specifically in me.
Which is what Renita was pointing out.
The resistance to doing that, because if you know it in abstract, that's all well and good. But if I want to really end suffering for this human being, I have to go through whatever is painful and hard. And I never saw this before, but the point at which the fish, the worm is on the hook is a point of pain. And I think part of what you were pointing at is that we have to learn to know that that pain is not my pain, but we host it. Until we can learn to be with that flailing and that whatever and know that that's still not me, even though I feel it in me, then I think that we're one step towards making the how real.
Yes, it is. Yes. And the connection there is that that's where the compassion comes from. Right? That realization that the ego flailing is not me, the what you just said, even though I'm feeling it. Right? That we have been hosting it for a really long time, and yet it's not me. And then the compassion is for the human being who has endured this for so long.
Well, here's we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go.
All right.
Caller, you're now live and on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Sherry in San Francisco.
Hello, hi, Sherry.
Hello. Oh, I'm loving this conversation today. And just for me, I've really been looking at the process that happened with the greatest moments page that we did. And I got to see... So it was really fun. So, you know, I was listing all these things, you know, my son being born or trips I've taken, celebrating my mom's birthday, you know, these kind of like standout moments. And then it was great, right? So it was fun and I filled up the page, and then I, when I was making my recording, they were just pouring in. I was like, oh, I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful. And it was really, really fun. And then I went in the house to get a glass of water, and I was coming back out, and this little butterfly flitted by. And I was like, oh, you know, like, I was listing, and they were, right? They were all, like, these great moments I was listing. But in that moment, I was like, I've had a million great moments just like this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they didn't quite make their way onto the list before, but then I got this whole new layer of like, oh, you know, when I felt the breeze or that little tiny bird who hopped by yesterday or, you know, just like, they're so great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you're pointing us to is the ability to appreciate.
Mm.
Right? That's what makes great. because there are any number of people, I feel quite confident, who went through the birth of a child and didn't experience it as one of their greatest moments.
Huh. Yeah.
Lots of trips. Lots of trips that were nightmares.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, what you're pointing at with making that connection with the butterfly or the bird or the breeze is when we're here and appreciative, that's what makes whatever life experience we're having great. When we're not, it's not. There's no life experience that in and of itself is great. Great is our contribution.
Yes. Yes. And what really clicked into place was just when you and Ashwini were just talking, I can't even remember now if that was just now or another day, but about love being a process.
Mm-hmm.
And great is a process. Appreciation is a process, right? And even though I had a lot of fun when I was initially doing it, it was content related. And what happened was I think it, you know, it switched to process.
Yes. Well, because again, even though you were focused on content, which is the magic to me of this retreat, right? It looks like you're focused on content. But what that content is doing is reflecting the process that's there.
By the time
you finish the page and go get the glass of water, you're so in that process, because otherwise if you weren't, that butterfly, you know, that you wouldn't have noticed it. The breeze, I mean, how there's almost always a breeze. How often do we notice it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and you know what? Now that I'm talking to you, so over the last few days, it has been like this heightened appreciation. Like, all of a sudden yesterday, I was, like, focused on hearing. Like, all of a sudden, I was like, I can't believe I can hear things. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I felt like I was drugged, which I wasn't, but I was just kind of like the birds would chirp, and I'd be like, whoa, you know, something that I have been blessed. And I don't know, it's just been so beautiful. And I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think that I didn't even realize that, but it was like that practice of just being in the appreciation. Then there was a heightened appreciation.
And what fun to approach appreciation the way you approach the hearing. What a miracle that we can appreciate. Because just the way, right, the way we've been looking at it in this little conversation, without that ability, the most beautiful aspects of life would be nothing.
Oh, I love that. I have never thought of that until you just said that this minute. Like, to appreciate being able to appreciate, or to appreciate being able to love, or Wow.
Because, you know, Sherry, I know you know, but again, we don't think about it like this a lot. There's pretty strong evidence that an awful lot of human beings don't have that. And sad choices result from that.
Well, and I certainly know from my own experience before I came to this practice, right? I mean, I know very well I didn't notice the butterfly or feel the breeze, or I was so focused on what was wrong with me, or, you know, what I thought was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And it kept me from being able to experience other things.
Yeah. And just when you say that, I can't resist, right? That is according to an egocentric, karmically conditioned, self-hating society, that's the right person way to be. You should be focused on what's wrong with you all the time so that you will be improving yourself, so that eventually you will become the right person. And it's, we can see just how completely egocentric it is.
Ah, yes. Wow. It just brings me as everything, right? Like so much gratitude for this practice and Sangha. And it just,
and
that, now yeah, go ahead.
Well, and our ability to appreciate all that.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Right. You just taught me that. I love that. Right. You just taught me that. Right. And the ability to appreciate it. Like, so, which is a whole nother level. I love that. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's like a wonderful, like fun house of mirrors where everything is joyful.
Yes.
And it's reflecting itself, you know, in that appreciating way.
Yes. Yes. Which I think is a marvelous definition or description of life.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much. That was fun.
Thank you. Very fun. Very fun.
All right.
Enjoy.
Happy to be here.
Uh-huh,
bye-bye.
Me too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sherry. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And here is our assignment. Think of three dominant characteristics of someone you like. Write them down. Record and listen.
Oh. Well, that, given our conversation already today, that's going to be a really interesting one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.
Go
happy.
All right.